Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hey, is for the horses out there.
Horses. And they roam in the American West, and they roam in England in the fields sometimes.
Oh my God, shout out to everyone in Ireland who, when I said that I ran in Phoenix Park, they said, did you see the deers? I was like, yeah, I saw the deers. Like, I do love Phoenix Park. It was my favorite place. It's probably my favorite place I ever run. But
oh my God, I can't believe I didn't make it over there.
Yeah, I ran total. You mean in total? I ran probably over 30 miles there in 3 days.
That's crazy. And remember when I ran into you and you were so scared?
Yeah. Well, that was
I know all this. I have to share with listeners, after all these years of friendships, I've never actually seen Pat run, not even one time. I thought he was lying to me about everything.
Yeah.
But then I was walking down the street in Dublin and I see him coming down in a gorgeous blue-hued garment, yeah. Shirt. And then I say, hey, and he screams, lifts up off the ground, jumps away from me.
Well, you have to understand a couple of things. For one, that was the day after. That was my run after my long run, which is always a little creaky in terms of, like, you know, the motion isn't quite fluid. Like, I'm really tight and sore, and maybe even my Achilles are acting
up. You looked really fucking tight and sore.
And then also, yeah, I was so tight. And and then also, my whole European journey was about, like, lying in bed, not sleeping, and then, like, being up for the day, having 2 hours of sleep, and being like, I guess I'll run. And so, like, you know when you, like, are operating on like 6 hours of sleep in the last like 4 days, and you like just everything is a jump scare kind of for no reason.
Yes, your body's an exposed nerve.
Yeah, my body was an exposed nerve when you saw me on that street. it was George Street was what it was called. That street was really my main drag.
Well,
I was there.
You know, it was so crazy is because the whole reason I was over there was to go to your Zara, aka the Zara you went to before I did.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because as I was walking away from you, I was like, wow, I forgot. He doesn't have his phone. He just has to remember where he's going.
Yeah. So my first day there, I brought my phone.
And you know what I thought? I thought my friend is so smart.
I am. You know, no one would ever think this because of the way I am, because of how I act, and because of my sexual orientation of being gay. But I actually really do corrections sometimes. But I will say, like, that was a little, because Ireland made the really cool choice to have no street signs anywhere. The first day I ran, I got nervous and I went back to my hotel room and I brought my phone. But then I was like, okay, now I can remember like how to get back and stuff like that. And, you know, I get like landmarks, like the famous gay spar, which is kind of like Ireland's
the gay spar,
if you will.
But so big.
Yeah, but so
shout out to gay spar.
Yeah, and there's one that's specifically gay leaning.
For gay.
And that was like right on my corner. And so I always, that was kind of my North Star, was the gay spar, to kind of just kind of speak lyrically for a moment. The gay spar was my North Star. And so
I'll never forget when I was so far from everything and I thought you were with me.
You were so far from the gay spar.
I was so far from the gay spar.
My last thing I'll say is,
I'm so sad you're gone.
I know. This is my fifth. This hotel is really nice, I will say. Thank God. It's like
how are you feeling? Are you exhausted?
Well, I slept for like 9.5 hours last night, which was
good.
It was a game changer. But this is my fifth hotel I've like moved into since leaving my home. And so I just like,
yeah, that's a crazy feeling.
I just don't have any more reality left. I know, the idea of reality is so detached from like my personal experience currently that it's like I couldn't even imagine what it feels like to be submersed in actual human reality.
I wouldn't want to be. I like it here better.
Yeah, I do.
Are you going back to New York after JFL?
Yes, but and then I start on Hacks like almost
immediately. Yeah, damn. But at least you get to sleep in your own bed. Oh, it's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
When is your big JFL show? Tonight.
Which I'm honestly glad about because, like, this will be, like, the stressy day. And then the next 3 days will kind of just be fun. And, like,
yeah.
I'm really excited because BSJ's in town. So I'll get lunch with him.
Oh, the best.
He's, like, literally the realest person in the world. Like, so
fun.
Oh,
I really want to see him.
There's nothing more restorative than, like, getting lunch with BSJ, literally, in the world.
Oh, my God. What advice does he give you? Because I need some.
I don't even know. Like, he just, like, listens and, like, says really funny things and tells really funny stories. And, like, you just laugh really hard. It's like heaven.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I actually just had a really restorative brunch. I'm currently at friend of the pod, Lolly Adefope's house.
Oh,
and me and Patty.
Chat with her.
I know. She's the best in the world. Me and Patty came over and she cooked for us. Isn't that so sweet?
You know, my friend Jonathan messaged me that he was at Patty's show yesterday.
Interesting.
And then he said he loved her hair. And I said she should absolutely be doing shampoo commercials. And
she should.
And I said I was so envious because I haven't seen Patty perform in years. Because
I know. I'm literally going on Friday.
I really would love to see her, like, do a show.
I'm so excited because also she and I, our Edinburgh shows are at the exact same time. And so we're never going to be able to see each other. So I'm going at Soho Theatre on Fry.
You could have. If you had gone yesterday at Soho Theatre and said, you could have seen my friend Jonathan.
I know. It's crazy to think about that.
Anyways.
I know, me too. I can't stop saying slay as a joke and now as real.
Yeah, that's a classic situation.
I'm like, okay, slay.
It's a very classic situation. You heard the two classic situations that are one of the most difficult parts of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you start saying something as a joke, and then all of a sudden it becomes real, that's really hard. And then also when you post something and then it gets a bunch of likes, and then you realize a mistake you made, and then you can't tell if you should delete and repost or just leave it up. And we know.
So yeah, we can now publicly speak about you accidentally had a lop folder moment in which. I knew because it was such a sweet carousel of, like, amazing pics of us. We look so good.
I want to end it with one funny, like, joke, whatever.
Of course.
And I have that old. I ended with this, like, old, like, front page of a newspaper I saw, which is just this woman looking dead-eyed into camera. And the headline is, I didn't kill boyfriend 26 years ago. I had initially posted that 2 years ago with the caption, me when I killed boyfriend 26 years ago. But, and so I put that at the end, but then I was also at a dumpling restaurant, and so I posted, and I had sent a picture of the menu, and somehow that ended up in the carousel. And
yeah,
against all odds, and then I had to, then it was the worst, because, like, then it also, like,
you know, took away from the joke at the end. I understand.
Joke at the end, yeah, but you know, we have been so public about, like, meeting at a noodle space that I was like, maybe people will think this is, like, a really cool restaurant we like or something.
We haven't been back to that noodle space. You know why? I can't go back because their noodles are so good. That's why I can't.
This is illegal to say, so, but whatever. I had a lot of trouble for some reason eating the food in the UK, like, and in Ireland. For some reason, I got, like, skeeved out by it, and I don't know why. But even if it was, like, a normal food, like, eggs with cheese, like, for some reason eating it, like, it being
I think sometimes... Well, I think sometimes when I'm traveling, I, like, if you don't see, like, the familiar, like, vibe of the things, it's just, like, there's, and also you're already kind of on edge and a little, like, anxious because you're just, like, in a new environment and you're not sure, like, where you're going.
Well, I get that. If there was a normal thing, there'd be, like, another thing next to it, like, a tin of, like, went into the breakfast buffet at my hotel. It's, like, okay, these eggs look normal, but next to it, there's, like, huge halved tomatoes that are just, like, cooked.
And
it
was, that's like, the classic full English breakfast.
And so
has roasted tomato.
Literally, whenever I tried to eat in the UK, I felt like I was in a Survivor, like, eating challenge where you have to, like,
shut the fuck up,
like, a cow brain. Like, that's, I know, I would be just eating scrambled eggs. I would feel like I was eating cow brain, and I would, like, I couldn't do it. I would be gagging almost. So anyway,
I had the most exquisite experience last night. Oh, sorry, finish.
In my Montreal, this is what's illegal to say, in my Montreal hotel, there is a scale, and so I did weigh myself, and I lost quite a bit of weight in the other continent where I was.
That, I don't feel anything about that. I'm not jealous because I love my body, and I am happy. I'm happy with however you want to be, and however your body wants to express itself is how I love it to be.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually just, I had such a fun show last night. But I was I was like in literally a coma from the Dublin travel. And then but the show was so good. But then nothing was better because I had a couple of drinks after the show. So picture this, you slay a gig. Then you get in a cab someone else is paying for. You're a little tipsy and you're looking on your Deliveroo as you're going home. And you know you're going to order like just a monstrous amount of food and like destroy yourself. And it was so, I had really good Indian food. It was so good.
Yeah.
So wait, I think everyone's probably wondering, like, now that you have left, well, you're actually still out of the country, but
yeah.
How did you feel about London and Well, and how do you feel about the three cities you got to go to? I can't. It's actually amazing. You got to go to London, Paris, and Dublin in your first trip.
Yeah, and Montreal. Four.
And Montreal. It would be fun to go back and do, Treatment. It's so funny because that, yeah. I think of Sarah Sherman every time because when she came on and was just like, psych treatment.
When I think of Sarah Sherman's episode, I think of when we, for some reason, for 10 consecutive minutes, had our conversation inverse, to the tune of, Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. My crush of the week is Taco Bell because I love that chain restaurant.
Someone was like, she's going to Edinburgh. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. She doesn't text me. And they were like, she's on SNL, babe, now, so she might not be texting you. Really? I mean, they were kidding, but I was like, car?
Yeah. I love Lolly. No, I'm so jealous you're there. I want to see her when she comes to New York.
It's so fun, when you get to just go to your friend's house and, lay on the couch instead of, meeting at a restaurant.
There's nothing like it.
I really want a house so one day you can come lay on my couch.
Yeah.
I literally love it over here, and I kind of think I should move here because they care about me more than they do in America.
Yeah, I want to move there too, actually.
People actually value me here.
Me, you, and Michelle are all going to be expats together.
Oh, my God. I'm so sad Michelle's not here right now.
It's interesting because, Michelle's big thing she's been saying, Michelle Collins, we're of course referring to our dearest friend on this planet.
Our most international friend, Michelle.
Our most international and dearest friend, Michelle. She was like, I love it. In Amsterdam, they're so nice here. That's why I live here. They're so nice here. But then I met someone, at our Dublin show, one of the mm-hmm. gays we were hanging out with. He was actually living in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And I was kind of like, how is it? And he was like, the people are kind of mean here, there. And I was like,
I think people are known for being really nice in Dublin, which they were.
Yeah, they were really nice.
I loved our little crew, our crew of Riverdance.
Yeah,
our crew of Riverdancers. They were gorgeous, so sweet.
It's so funny because people.
Shout out.
My uncle is like. My gay uncle is obsessed with genealogy in terms of he's always walking around a family party with a huge photo album being like, okay, so this is our great, great uncle.
Oh, who lives that's so sweet. Farm
in Ireland. And so, and he obviously tracked down relatives. And actually when I was in Dublin, was having them over his house and having our family come see our Irish relatives. And I was always like, that's so weird. But then when I got to Ireland, it's not even just a gay uncle thing. It's an Irish thing. And that all the Irish people I met were so Regan, I think that's that's actually Kildare, I think. I think the Regans are from Kildare. I was like, I have obviously no idea. And I was like, well, my mom's family is Reddington. Someone's like, that's the West. They're from the West. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll head West any moment to find my dear cousin.
I'll Kildare you to get a clue and stop talking about this to me. I know. Did you feel at home there?
I did. I actually love Dublin.
Yeah, the park is the
Dublin's
park.
Really, drunk, I found. When you would try to walk through the streets, there's, so many people just standing around with, just full glasses of beer or wine.
I just love how everyone over here is full alcoholic. It's sort of blissful.
Yeah.
I know. What was I going to say? Oh, I have to address something. And I think we're all thinking it. My eye has been twitching for a full month.
Really?
Do you think I'm dying?
No,
it goes in and out. It goes in and out. I mean, to be fair, I haven't slept, and I've been sorry. I need to stop saying that because I keep using the Love Island phrases because I'm watching so much of it right now. It's like, well, to be fair, I have not gotten sleep. Yeah,
for me, it's I can't, to be fair, and I can be asked. I keep saying,
I keep doing it over here too to people that I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not mocking you, but it's really hard not to try and speak at your cool accent back at you.
It was so cool, and kind of horny knowing I was the one with the accent when I was there.
Yeah, and you're the absolute sex god.
Yeah, and that I had an accent.
I know.
Our Dublin show was so fun. I miss it.
We were so funny in it.
Yeah.
We weren't that funny in London, which is okay.
I know. We were kind of meh in London.
You know why it was it almost is anytime you're doing a smaller room, it's going to be more, or a more intimate, closed-in room, it's going to be better. Totally. The London venue, though, was unreal, but it was just very cavernous.
Yeah, it was cavernous is the word.
Before. I jerked off. Oh, I forgot to talk about what I jerked off to in our show.
Please talk about that.
Okay, I jerked off to the moment when, I literally did it, the moment when someone, when you like open your pussy for someone and they put it in and then you both act like shocked at how good it feels. Like when they're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like before it's even really in, you're just like, oh my God, oh my God. And I just jerked off to like the literal aura of that. Yeah. But I had, you know, it's so, it's, this has happened to me before too. I had just painted my nails, and as all my nail painters know, it's like, they can pretend they're dry, but they're not really dry for like 24 hours. So like all of a sudden I had like my crusty glitter nail polish just all over my clit. I was like, this isn't really what I had in mind.
Yeah, totally.
Never seen a dog do that.
I hate that.
You hate glitter and nail polish on my clit?
Yeah.
Stop being scared of my sexuality.
In general, I don't like 1000% like get, if that makes sense.
Clits?
Clits.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, look who...
I'm so glad we're having family on the pod today. We're having a literal, our literal family. Put your ears wide, wide apart. Wide, wide apart for the Ruby McAllister.
Ruby McAllister.
Hey, woo!
Woo, woo, woo. You are my girl.
Also, you guys are in completely different spaces.
1000%.
Yeah.
Okay, so that... I'm on a really modern bed. Like, what's going on?
Aggressively modern.
This bed was actually created in the 21st century, if that makes sense.
It was.
And so it incorporates tones of gray.
Yes, it's... I know. Little did we know that the 21st century was about Heather Gray.
Oh my God, I wish... It's everything is gray. It's disgusting to me.
It's disgusting. Every wall, everybody goes, gray, gray. I have an idea.
That's why I want to go to Tokyo, because in Tokyo everything is like really bright, isn't it?
That's why we have to go. I'm dying to go to Tokyo. Can someone please? I really. Do you think?
You know what I'm thinking?
No.
When Shoshana went to girls.
When Shoshana went to girls. If there's anyone in Tokyo who is even known about us for a second, please, please invite us. We just did a show in Dublin for quite a small crowd, and we're open to doing very small shows.
We're open to very intimate settings abroad.
No, but that's honestly that's how the Europeans prefer it.
Yeah.
Intimate.
Yeah, the intimate. There are...
Wait, so Ruby, where are you, first of all?
I'm truly in my apartment.
We've been trying to meet up for about 6 to 7 months now, which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
we text like, die for you, need to see you. Yeah. And it's like, wait, babe, actually I'm in another country. It's like, okay, wait, babe, actually 6 months later.
I love it because you're like a professional skier at this point.
No, you can't ski in the summer, queen.
You're like... always on a mountain.
Yeah, I have been retreating.
I'm always at this apartment. I'll give you my address. You can just show up any freaking time. I'll be here. My freaking ring light is in the back. It's just like, I love your
that door frame's gorgeous.
Ruby, you know what I think about with you? Do I think about with you?
Please tell me.
Your boyfriend has sciatica, just like I did that time.
My boyfriend does have sciatica, like you did that time. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And
oh my God, Ruby.
I want everyone to know that it's not, we cannot let this monster be in the closet anymore. The sciatica heads have to rise up.
Lift their voices.
Yes, they do.
I think me having struggled with sciatica in the summer is huge for like the sciatica community. Or no, in like the fall. And then I think your boyfriend, who's famously a young buck, having sciatica, I think that does so much to debunk the kind of
the geriatric myth of this.
Yes, yeah. 100%. I think we really apology around sciatica. Me and your lover came together on that project.
Well, you know what
really
you guys
cool.
both have in common is a Catholic background, and I do think that I do think that goes
myofascial.
Yes.
Did your guys' teachers always tell you that?
What does that mean, by the way? Myofascial.
Myofascial.
I think that means like little muscle fibers.
Okay. Anyways, what's up?
If you think myo means kind of small, because myopic means like.
Oh, nice. Someone took Latin.
Also micro.
Yeah.
Microplastics. And fascial. Yeah, exactly.
Because if you think about like plantar fasciitis, like I'm so good with word roots. It's crazy. I need to be an SAT tutor.
I know. Honestly, you are like, were you an SAT tutor?
Very briefly when I was like, first October.
I was.
You were?
And I was horrible at it. I was for a very, very long time.
You're echoing for me.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all in any way.
Is it my fault?
I think it's because you don't have headphones on.
whatever. It's fine. It doesn't bother me as long as it's not like causing.
Wait, so Ruby.
So wait, why are you separate if you just were in Dublin?
Because now
Pat went to JFL. He just left.
Oh, it's now JFL time, and you got a new face.
It's that time of year. Yeah,
I got it. You were elected for that
new face.
He's got a new face, and he's showing it off in Montreal this weekend only. Check it out.
I lost the popular vote, but I won the election. I got a new face.
How does it feel? How is Montreal? Sorry, I can't stop.
I mean, I got here yesterday, and I can't stress enough. Like, I didn't sleep in Europe. Like, I didn't sleep a wink in Europe for no reason. I just couldn't. Like, for no reason. It wasn't people kept telling me it's jet lag. It wasn't jet lag, because it wasn't like I was sleeping regular New York hours, and I was like, oh, I'm all off schedule. It's just like I would lie in bed and not go to sleep. I think it's because I probably have too much NyQuil, and they don't believe in that. And In the UK, they act like NyQuil is literally like a heroin level drug. Like, they would never let anyone have it. And I'm like, I'm literally a sober person, and I take NyQuil sometimes to sleep. But I
let my friend do it.
Yeah. So I was really tired when I got here, but it was kind of like summer campy in a fun way. Like, you know, when you're like 26 and what you think JFL is going to be, it kind of was that, which was kind of fun.
Like, okay.
When I was 26, it was like, I needed it so bad and JFL wanted me absolutely dead.
Yeah, me too.
But God. What did you think about it? Sorry. I just need to hold this cool vintage cup while we're talking. I needed to hold this while I'm about to ask you. Green glass, depression glass. Okay, this is the question.
There needs to be a collection of essays written by the people who got JFL new faces during their Jesus year.
That's such a... Publishers, holla! That is such a genius idea. How does it feel to... A, question. Not, I mean, one, what did you guys think JFL was going to be when you were 26? Two, how is your Jesus year? I feel like your Jesus year is...
coming to a close.
It's going very well.
It's going very well.
It's definitely it's going well.
It's kind of being slay.
Well, I think that like 32, I feel like I had a really collection of really good years that I was really proud of, if that makes sense. Like from maybe like 30 to like 32. And this year, I think I've been coasting a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't feel like I've been growing in the past year. Like,
are you serious?
Oh my God. What the fuck? I'm in a fucking cum.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Hey, what
there
do you mean?
Are years you don't grow. Bad.
Like, or just
emotionally. Like, I don't think I've grown. Like, I think that when I was basically from when I got sober to like a year and a half ago, I was in such survival mode and such like so on a mission and so like driven and so like Lady Gaga, next club, no sleep, next club, no sleep.
Yeah.
I keep saying that my Europe journey was like the Lady Gaga, next club, no sleep, next club, no sleep, but without the clubs. It was just like lying bed, no sleep, lying bed.
That's really funny. You should say it on stage.
Yeah. And so, and then like, I think, you know, I got a lot of the things I want. I think that I like have a little bit started. Like, I don't think I've had that same hunger and that same, like, I don't know. The pandemic, I think, like, affected, like, yeah, I just feel really checked out, honestly. And I think that, like, that I want to feel more connected and engaged in coming years. But maybe that's my Jesus year is about realizing that. You know what I mean?
So are you about to enter your Jesus year or are you ending your Jesus year?
I'm about like 6 months into my Jesus year.
I mean, you have another 6 months, babe. You know what I mean?
No. I'm like 8 months. I have, because my birthday is Halloween, so I have October, September, August. I have 3 months left of my Jesus year.
I had 3 months left of my Jesus year.
That's such a beautiful thing that you feel like you've been a little bit checked out. What a blessing. Jesus. Do you know what I mean?
It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And I will fully say, like, I was so broke for so long, and I was so like, will I have rent next month? I was so like, how am I going to cobble this all together? And I think like writing for a TV show has been like a big source of stability. Having an apartment, I've never lived in a place for more than a year. Like, I've lived in my current apartment for over 3 years.
Good feeling.
Yeah, I'm in a relationship, and I just feel sort of like, yeah, stability in a way that has become like malaise. Do you know what I mean?
So now you sort of feel like
an embarrassment of riches. It's like, it's all really nice things. It's just like, I've become, I think, complacent.
But now, like, that isn't that like, I always feel like there is no way, like, I was like, there is no way I'm ever going to be an adult where I'm like, you know, like, bored, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not, but I think it comes for us all where it's like adulthood eventually stabilizes and then you're like 45 and you're like, I have an idea, I'm dying my hair blue or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I'm like 90% sure I'm going to like blow up my entire life when I get back to the States. So
you're 90%. I'm excited for that. I want to see those returns after you get that new face. Yeah. Totally. I mean, you're getting a new face. Of course you have to blow up your freaking life. Who's going to fucking recognize you, girl?
Blow up your life is so like 2012, like, cable.
I crashed my car into a bridge and watched it let it burn.
I love that. I have to be honest, I love that song.
That's one of the best songs ever written in history. I think we can safely say that.
It was the introduction song. It was like the walkout song to a famous all-female UCB Lloyd Team Detroit that I was added to mere moments after I came out as a gay man. And I remember being kind of excited because I was like, oh, at least it's a cool walkout song. And then as soon as I got on, they changed it to like something else that like I hated.
It was an all-female team.
So famously what happened was they broke the mold by doing an all-female Lloyd Team, which was the team on UCB Improv. And then this was in like 2014, I'd come out to like, the first person I came out to was like November 2013. And then like January of 2014, I came out to a few more people and like maybe my parents. And then in February, it's like 1 month later, there were three spots, there were two spots open on that Lloyd Team. And so they gave it to Mike Kelton and me. And I was just like so new to being gay. And I was like, all right, now it's like me and Mike Kelton and all girls. I was like so stressed out about it. And this guy that I actually like had a toxic hookup relationship with emailed the artistic director and said it was fucked up what he did.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tell us everything that's going on with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
How are you? I have a question. How are you in body, in mind, and in spirit?
Body, you know, is giving. Okay, so basically July is my least favorite month of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. It is the moment I black out. I'm in a chronic blackout completely. I mean, I have a lot to say about this. I'm a Leo, as you are as well, Catherine. But
happy Leo season.
Happy Leo season. But my friend who's a healer, obviously, told me that I might not like July because it's trauma from being in the mommy's stomach. And it was like, this was the month where we were starting, like things were starting to go toxic for us. You know, that like suddenly the mom's body was rejecting us. We had to be, you know, like pushed out into the world. And I do actually think that is real. But I also think like growing up in LA, my theory is that everybody is becoming a Los Angelino in the globe. Globally, everyone's becoming a Los Angelino because in LA, you're in a desert and you know, like your whole body knows that you're not supposed to be there, but you're there. And there's fires, there's earthquakes. It's like the most unstable, like weird place to live. And like, you know that everything is trying to kill you. Like, truly everything's trying to kill you. So, but as the planet sort of destabilizes, unlike Pat's life, you know, Pat's life is sort of stabilizing, but the rest of the globe is sort of going like, totally, you know.
The globe is blowing up its life.
Literally.
The globe doesn't care.
The globe doesn't care.
July is bad, and I just think everyone's becoming Los Angelino globally because suddenly we all feel the existential threat that Los Angelinos sort of feel all the time, like have always felt.
So you're saying now we're all realizing that we're in a state, we're in a world that is unlivable, and yet we're still living. And you were inherently born with that understanding, but I'm new to this feeling. I'm right. Like,
what? You're new to this feeling. And like what I realize is like my mother is a Los Angelino. Her father is a Los Angelino. His father is a Los Angelino. That's going to be four generations of Los Angelinos. That's right. Which is honestly really a sort of big deal.
Do you want kids?
Do I want kids? That's an amazing And will they be okay, Barbara Walters?
And will they be Los Angelinos?
Well, that's the thing is like I don't know if Los I'm not to freak anybody out here, but like I don't know if Los Angeles will be like a hospitable. I don't California is gonna run out of water like tomorrow. Like it's not. It's also fidget spinner, no big deal. insanity. Me talking about this going like this.
It's truly modern.
Talking about global collapse being like, that's great. This is upsetting.
Can you believe fidget spinners hit the market 5 years ago?
Feels like way longer.
It was like 7 years ago.
It was my first year of sobriety when fidget spinners hit.
I love sober people because they do have memories like this. They were like, the second I stopped, I saw this. This was the first thing I saw. Like,
literally, I came to. I'm
out of a blackout.
That's amazing. Okay, do I want kids? Right. So but what I'm saying is Los Angelinos.
Right.
July. Los Angelinos are also, you meet somebody from LA, they can be happy, happy, happy. They are all Los Angelinos are sort of naturally existential, naturally sort of gothic, sort of like tending towards the morbid. Because I think we know like you know, like it's like there's an unease, there's an uncanniness of just surviving in LA that we are now all experiencing as a globe. And so I also think my hatred of July is actually sort of a Los Angeles thing, but now everybody is going to experience it, including the people in England. Suddenly everyone in England is scared of July now. And we're all becoming Los Angelinos. That's my theory. And all Los Angelinos, you meet them, they're gothic. They're goths. Like goth is goth is LA. It's like anyway. And we're all gonna become goths. That's the thing, is like we're all gonna be goths like in 5 years. It's through and through, through and through. We will. So
you heard this local anthropologist 2028.
Like it's just every girl, like basic girls are gonna be like straightening their hair black. Like everyone's gonna have little umbrellas because the sun's gonna be so intense. It's like we are.
I just got to this part. I have to do this because I'm even a year behind everyone else globally in Love Island UK, but. I just saw the episode last night where, like, a guy comes in who has, like, all tattoos and Faye's like, he's quite edgy, isn't he? I got about as much edge as a circle. And he's sort of like, if you're not edgy, what am I? And Faye's like, I'm beige. And Lucy's like, I'm quite pink.
I love her. Really
cool. But see, I think I have not watched 1 second of Love Island, admittedly, which is shocking and I'm nervous about it, but I do think nobody on Love Island isn't goth. Like we know, like, do you know what I mean? Like if you think about it, it's like even what you're saying, like I'm beige, like I'm pink, I'm a circle. Like that is, that's poetry. That's romantic poetry right there. I mean, am I wrong?
You've never been wrong once.
I think early seasons, everyone was goth, but I think, like, as it became more influentery, like, people became less and less goth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's like, the other Olivia. Thing is, like, these influencers aren't going to, they're going to just keep laying out in the sun. We know that that's impossible. Oh, they're just going to keep laying out in the sun. What are you talking about? What am I talking about? I don't know. What I'm saying is, it's like, It's like, do you
we are
know
always
like,
we are always talking about that. We're always talking about that.
It's like these Love Island girls. It's like, oh, I'm Thailand, yeah. It's like, babe, we know that's not allowed anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I was on such a good track of like getting really tan this summer, and I just got completely thrown off.
Do you get tan?
He does.
I do. I can't.
Irish.
Because I have moles like this. You see that mole? Because of that, because I have that, I only get tan every 3 summers on purpose. So I got really tan in 2019 and then was the palest person you could ever
imagine.
I have
so many moles.
20 and 21, and now 22, I was like kind of going for it with getting tan again.
So Catherine, can you tan or you're having a British summer?
I am. I can tan. I was kind of tan while I was in Mexico in January and I got a little bit tan. Yeah, but now I'm full like wearing pants and jackets for the rest of the summer, which is I don't care about tan anymore, even though whenever I am tan I'm like, wow, I look so fucking good, but it's not worth it because I have cans in my fam, so
yeah.
But I'm going to Greece, right. You know, I'm going to Greece, so I might get a little kiss of the sun, a little kiss.
You've got to get a little kiss from the sun.
Yeah. Get a kiss from my Poseidon or one of the Greek gods of nature. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. They both reach for the gun for them.
Your boobs look incredible.
I know. I literally.
Boobs just look really
I know.
Good.
I did that literally to show y'all. I was like, this is crazy. When I wear these little.
Yeah, wait, what's going on?
You know what it is? It's when I wear these little porny, like, 90s baby t-shirts that makes my titties look big, big, honking.
Yeah, that's the culture of Cameron Diaz wearing like a shirt like that and little boys' underwear, which
I
is
know.
So pervy.
I know.
We've discussed it in the past on this podcast, and we'll continue to discuss it
as needed. We'll discuss it as needed.
As needed, we will continue to examine Cameron Diaz wearing little boys' like Super Mario Brothers underpants.
I had this really depraved sort of sex dream last night where I was like in this kitchen with a tile floor, butt naked, and I was like rubbing my pussy on the floor trying to get someone to like fuck me, but no one would.
Yeah.
Did you get off?
When I hear that dream, I get it.
You know what else is that I saw this guy, this old guy with a big dick, and then this is kind of gross, but this is everyone's goth now, so here we go. He showed me, he took out his big dick and he was like, it's got teeth, and the dick had like a mouth.
Wait, what?
The dick had a mouth on the tip of it, or like on the shaft of it.
It was kind of like where the shaft meets the tip. It was a smile, and it had teeth.
Oh, that makes total sense.
I know. I actually did such a good job of explaining that. So, anyways, back. So, Ruby, you were saying body, mind, spirit. We're talking about July. We're talking about how everyone's goth. This is what's happening. This is the state of things.
Mm-hmm. So, I am shutting down. I am spiritually. You know, I had a psychiatric appointment a few days ago, and I hope he doesn't listen to this. He's like fan of mine, and it's awkward, but
you're not allowed to go to him.
I know. Like the first time I met with him, God bless him up and down, but like he did recognize me from this
that's cool
documentary I did as a child.
I would actually know. Therapist like recognize me, because then I wouldn't have to keep trying to prove to him that like I mean it when I say I'm a comedian, you know what I mean?
100%. But imagine I was in a documentary about my this is intense. In fact I hope it's my birthday soon, and I hope I cleanse myself of this curse that I blessed myself at 14. But I was in a documentary about my performing arts high school. And it was called Fame High, which is a nightmare of epic proportion. And I was one of like the main subjects and whatever, like people that like Joel Kim Booster recognized me from that. Like it was like people that watch, I don't know. It's like a subgroup of people that watch documentaries about children trying to be professional, which like I totally understand speaking as a goth. I get why that is. I get why that's a pastime, but my psychiatrist, when I was like 22, I come in, I'm weeping, I'm like, I'm a failure, like, I'm gonna whatever, I need medication, and he was like, what? Wait, you were in that documentary. Why are you?
Oh my god,
that school must have set you well on your way to be a famous actress.
No,
and I'm like, the fact that I'm about to be bleep years old. The fact that I've stayed with him for this long, just for out of mere just apathy of just like, I don't want to try to find a new one.
Well, it is really hard.
It's really hard. So I'm like, okay, I'll meet with this person once a year, tolerate abuse to get medication that I need. Sure, I will. So, but I did, in terms of spirit, this goes back to the spirit question, only, and usually sometimes it's hard for me to lie, especially to medical professionals, which is bizarre, because I was talking to Spike Einbinder and River Ramirez last night, and whatever, they proposed we all should be lying to our healthcare providers. But that's a,
what do you mean?
that's a different conversation. Anyway, I can't lie to a healthcare provider, and I should start. Okay, because I start weeping. If you ask me a question, I'll start weeping. I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the state of my life. But this time, I decided to lie just a little bit, just to see where it would go. And I swear to God, me lying just a little bit to my psychiatrist opened up this like enlightenment. Like I'm not joking. Like, it freed my spirit on such a level that I didn't know was possible. Like, I lied to him just a little bit. I lied to him and said that I was working for a production company.
Yeah. why that, and why, what were you trying to accomplish?
Because I didn't want to tell him that, you know, it's been a hard year of like, I didn't want to tell him I wasn't working in television. I didn't want to tell him
you don't want to let him down because he's a fan.
A little bit. I didn't want to tell him the gruesome reality of how I earn money, which is still very hunky hunky, where I go, I don't want anyone to know that, merely because I don't want it to be like a topic of conversation. It's just like, it's like, God bless, I love everything, like shakalaka, but like, I don't want to talk about that to my psychiatrist. You know, yeah. It's like, I don't, because I don't want to get into it. It's like none of his business. I'm ashamed. It has nothing to do with shame. It's just like, it's not the point. Give me the meds. So I just wanted to like,
totally,
you know, I just wanted to like streamline it and just be like, I'm working for a production company. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, my taxes are so simple. Like, I file from one place, you know, like, I just wanted to like talk about that rather than like, I did this commercial, I'm doing this Snapchat thing, right, like whatever. Right. It's like, I don't want to talk about that. That's insanity. That's like, truly, it's like, why would I talk about that? That's so upsetting. And like he doesn't understand. And he starts talking.
It's so upsetting that I did that commercial.
Yeah, it's like, it's so upsetting. Oh my God. It's so upsetting that, like, I mean, this year alone, I was a hand model twice. It's like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about it.
I want to hear about that, unfortunately.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to.
But it's like,
you should have cheated us like your therapist and lie a little bit, because we want to hear about it.
but what I'm saying is, going on off the lie is like, I realized that actually, like, through this lie, a little white lie, you know, I was like, actually, I've been more content in the present. And then like, I go off on this thing, which I do believe I've felt the past weeks. I have felt a bizarre amount of like presence, because I just don't want to think about the future. Again, back to the everyone's a goth. So it's like, because I don't want to think about the future, and I really don't want to, I've thought a little too much about the past. Suddenly my brain goes like, it's like, suddenly my brain's just like I can't think about anything but like literally the present moment. It's so actually weird.
Yeah.
But because I just don't want to think about anything. Because my brain is just like, I've given up. Like, it's like, truly my brain is just like, I've given up. Like, why are we thinking about any of this shit? So it's like, I'm literally just like, cup, fidget spinner. Like, I don't.
That,
like,
sounds healthy.
It is, but it's a miracle of like extreme abuse, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it's my, like, God. My brain has been so upset, and then finally my brain has done this a few times, thank God, that I get so obsessed with something for years and years and years, and then one day my brain just can't think about it anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm being really real.
That's what we need. And it's like with the breakup too. You wake up one day and you're just like, I actually can't do this. Like, I can't be sad about this anymore.
I was obsessed. I'm sure I talked about it to both of you for years. Like, I was obsessed with this guy who was he wouldn't let me into his apartment. Like, I had to have
Yeah.
The one you had sex with outside?
Yes.
Yeah, I love him.
Because he wouldn't let you in his apartment?
We love him. At this point, we love him. Yeah, I couldn't go into his apartment.
Love and light.
I had
love
to have
light.
Sex with him outside. Like, and I was just...
Why?
Babe, it's still a freaking mystery. And, like, eventually I eventually did attempt to date him for 6 months, like, properly. So it's like, I was obsessed with this person who, you know, was a tormentor, a true tormentor. I mean, of course, your brain goes, not obsessed with it. And one day I woke up and I...
A tormentor.
And one day I literally woke up and I felt it. My brain, it was like a week period long. And I felt my brain like unbraid him from my synapses.
Ooh, beautiful.
And I felt it and it was like a withdrawal. And it was like, whoa, like it was a huge week of my life. And then, of course, I unbraided him. I couldn't think about him anymore. You couldn't pay me to think about him anymore. And then, of course, he comes back and like literally proposes marriage to me. Like, you know, of course, because that's how it happens.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And then you met your new lover.
Yes.
But it's like, him?
I had been like years ago, I worked with him at a restaurant. Like, I've known him for a million, gajillion, billion years. But what I'm saying is my brain does like have this like object impermanence where it's like it can focus on something for so long obsessively and then one day it just like can't do it anymore. I don't know what that is. I think there is like a term for it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I definitely have that. I feel like I've had that not necessarily with people. I feel like obsessions with people come and go, but they're more like, it's a different thing than that, but I have that with like either friendships or like situations I don't want to talk about this again because I actually feel really guilty for how much I said a couple episodes ago about my relationship with the island called Fire Island, but I think that that's like,
why that do you feel situation. Guilty about it? I also I, just I, like I, totally well, just, revealed you, too much about myself too, but like here we are.
Not at all.
No, because mine involved like other people that then like I want anyone listening to, like, I never want you to DM anyone. Like, I never want anyone listening to DM anyone else. So I think I feel guilty about that. I hope listeners would have known to not, like, that this is just my side of the story. And I just was...
You were just expressing how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah. None of that is necessarily even resembling truth. It just, that's my emotional truth.
Right.
So I felt guilty for that for some... But regardless, I think I am in a place... Like, that's a situation I've been obsessed with for... probably 6 years, and like recently I'm just like, oh, I don't, I think it was after that episode I was like, oh, I just don't care about this anymore. Like, my brain broke in terms of like, it can't care about that anymore.
I think that's really how, and I said this once over the pandemic, I was in a Zoom group therapy session, and it was me and one straight guy and three gay guys. And I was incredible. Just constantly
I need
being
to be in
like,
there immediately.
I was just like constantly like, well, you're not going to get over that until you commit to it 1,000%. And then your brain gets tired of it. Like, that was like my constant. Also, group therapy, the fact that I could crosstalk is illegal. That should be fully illegal.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. I was crosstalking.
I want to be
like,
in group therapy.
Like, being like, hi, actually, you just have to just feel the feeling until your brain gets tired of it. And I do think most, how else do you get over anything? Like, I don't think.
Well, that happened with me and caring about like my career so much because I'm so sick of being jealous and feeling bad about my career.
Me too.
Even though everything's good. Well, not everything.
I think it has to.
Yeah.
And also it's just like, I, again, like thinking about the future, worrying about like, all of this stuff. It's like, I just recently, my brain right. is just like, I'm so tired. But I don't think, I wonder sometimes, like, is therapy just a way for you to get tired of a topic and then your brain stops thinking about it? Is that the use of therapy, to overcommit to a feeling
yeah.
that eventually your brain literally drops the synapse of it?
Yeah, like when you – it's like when you keep saying the same word over and over again yes. and, like, stops making 100%. Sense. 100%. Like, that's what therapy is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what therapy is for feelings. We're like, oh, this doesn't mean anything
I think
anymore.
That so might wise. Be it. I think that might be it. Or it's like, you know, even though, like, I do believe in the power of prayer and I do believe that, you know, my spiritual belief is whatever. Like, I do believe in a higher power. But there is another, like, neurological aspect of it where it's like you're praying, so you're just focusing on something else. You're just – it's like meditation is just the absence of a focus on something. It's just like if we're talking yeah. about pure science, I don't like talking about pure science.
And we are. And but everything we do on this podcast, we are talking about pure yeah. science.
And I know that this is sort of like a science-based podcast, and you both don't believe in God. You only believe in science. And I know that. And that's sort of one, like.
We both, we actually love God on this podcast.
No, I know.
One time a woman told me she. One time when I was like 27, a woman told me she believed in the power of prayer. She used that phrase. And then, like, 6 months later, she did this, like, long Facebook post about how, like, she had been struggling with same-sex attraction, and she, like, went to essentially a conversion camp, and it worked. And I was like, congrats, girl.
That's so sad.
I know. And it was the post. And do you know what else was interesting about the post?
What was?
She was like, I feel like Katniss, and I've shot in the arrow through, like, the... Remember when Katniss shot that bow and arrow through, like, the Hunger Games, like,
I never, ever, even for a second, let myself understand the premise of the Hunger Games. Yeah, exactly.
I've never laid my eyes on one frame of that.
I read the first two, and I hated them. I didn't see the movies, but I read the first two books, and I thought they were really bad, actually. But there was one where she breaks the matrix kind of by shooting an arrow up into like the dome with the Hunger Games happening, and the girl who went to conversion therapy who believes in the power of prayer said that's what she felt like when she managed to stop being
that's so sad.
I mean, that's but honestly good for her. I mean, like
shut the fuck up.
That's what she wanted, you know?
Yeah, love yes, is love.
Whatever you love, want, yeah. I support
whatever
you
want to love.
Whatever makes you... We all need to be doing whatever makes us feel like Katniss. We all need to be doing whatever makes us feel like Katniss. Whatever
I feel
that
most
means
like Katniss when I'm lying down asleep for 12 hours in a row.
100%. But that... So what I'm saying is I did... I just want you to know I walked to my couch and that felt insane. And now I have to go back to my desk. Okay.
I like your top.
Thank you. It's a little dress.
But,
sexy. But yeah, so I feel like this lying. Yeah. So I lied. And then I did finally realize through lying that the past few weeks, yeah, I like am not focused on my chronic anxiety about the future because my brain doesn't work anymore, thank God. And so that
praise
that
him.
Is happening. And that's
praise
amazing.
Him on high.
Yeah, so that's my mind and I think a little bit my spirit that I – and then my psychiatrist, God bless him, said that he believed that I have been experiencing – true states of enlightenment.
So oh my God. No wonder you can't leave like, him. No wonder you can't find a new one. That sounds incredible.
I know. He's a fan of mine. He says that I've achieved true enlightenment. I go,
you are really
getting my citalopram from you for the rest of my goddamn life. Of course.
What is that, by the way?
It's a SSRI. I was on that in college for a second.
Well, yeah, I'm on
Ruby, I really have this feeling about you, like, you are really like, I just feel you're so special when I'm around you. I just feel like so at ease and at peace. And I feel like I do feel like you have knowledge from like other lives that just like pour through you all the time.
I thank you so much.
Do you know what I mean? Don't you feel like the most special girl?
Totally.
You know what? I don't feel like the most special girl because I'm really working on my terminal uniqueness, but I
terminally unique
terminally
is so fucking
girl.
Funny
but I do. I have noticed, like, I was talking to some people, dear friends, and it was like they're like sort of like, they were also raised in LA. They have sort of like artistic parents or whatever. I also have artistic leaning parents, but weirdly, their artistic parents, both of my friends, have parents that like did not have spiritual lives and did not have like spiritual commitments. And like, weirdly, I looked at my family and I was like, I just come from a long line of like seekers. Shockingly, I can't believe I'm revealing so much about myself on this one.
No, I don't feel like I feel like I don't come from a long line of seekers, and I sometimes wish I did, because sometimes it's hard when your parents aren't seekers, because like when you sometimes when you see your parents struggling with something, like, oh, you have to, you're
right. And that's, you know, what they were saying, my friends were saying, because they're on like their own path, spiritual relationships, yeah. And they were like, it's really hard, because and even with them, it's like they had these parents that they intellectually feel very kindred to but spiritually very foreign from, and like, right. I also think for me, not to,
yeah, for me, I think it's like, you know, my parents were in that generation of like Irish Catholic where it's like, this is the church, it's like, and like that, any spirituality that any help they can get, it has to be from that bucket, kind of. And if like, and if it's not helpful to them, then they're just kind of shit out of luck. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think our generation is more like, okay, well, what, maybe this path isn't like right for me or not helpful to me. Like, what else is out there? Like that kind of
well,
seeking.
That was like the way I was raised specifically, was like my mom's grandmother, my great grandmother, was a literal metaphysicist.
Oh my God. And like, that's like Donnie Darko.
She's her whole life your trying great-grandma, to find.
Your great grandma is the old lady from Donnie Darko.
Cellar door.
Wait, so many people have cellar door. She's cellar door. Cellar door. So many people have said that. I do. Really? My great grandmother is the woman from Donnie Darko.
Oh my God, that's like crazy, because I don't even really know her. To be fair,
yeah. To be fair to me,
oh, I know her. Tell me about. No, she did do like crazy, like tried to break down like time and space.
I'm dying
and
for someone to do that.
In these crazy books, and
she, I would love it to be broken down.
Yeah,
and she tries, like her like big tome piece was called The Eternal Crucible. Okay.
Wow, I want to read it.
And, okay, I'm making shirts.
And it's about she found a so-called equation to prove that there's a physical soul in the body. Like, so that's like my mom's side of
the
family.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy. And then my dad is like, my grandfather like had a kid in college super young, but was like meditating in the 50s and studying comparative religion. And then my dad is like a crazy, like crazy, crazy spiritual like all I talk about with my dad is our relationships to our individual, like my dad's a Hindu, like my dad is a literal practicing Hindu and has been since he was 23. I'm white person. Like, it's like, and he knows, like, it's, and that for so long I thought that was so like cliche, like my you know, I was raised in LA, my dad's Hindu, like it's such an old stupid Woody Allen joke, but there is like, suddenly as I do, I'm sort of grateful for it, like it's weird that I get to talk to somebody who prays to multiple gods.
Totally.
Like, it's weird that, and he's my father, like I get to talk about religion with my family all the time, and I can't imagine, is my main connection to my parents, as our individual spiritual relationships.
And religion seems to mean something different than it does to probably a lot of people's parents, where it's like, I mean, if I talk about religion with my parents, it's like, we're just talking very specifically
obligation.
About like,
it means
Roman
like
Catholicism.
One thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. And like, my mom has her own practice, I have my own practice, my dad, and it's like this crazy, like, I feel so fortunate in that way, that it's like, in terms of my own relationship to spirit as it is, it's like, I can't tell if I'm an old soul or if I'm just genetically modified to discuss this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because then it's like, I look at it and I'm just like, the genetics of my family, it's like, well, I can't tell if I'm an old soul. I really think I was just, this is my orientation against hear my
me.
Will.
You were born this way.
This is my orientation. Hear me roar. This is my orientation.
Yes, hear me roar. This is my orientation. I'm at orientation. Hear me roar. Yeah. This
should, right. So what do you think happens? What do you think happens when we D?
Because I don't want it to be just black. It'll annoy me.
I have to say, I've been thinking about this recently because I spent my entire 20s not thinking about D at all. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I always think about D.
24/7. Just thinking about F.
Yeah.
Failure.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was me fucking.
Which essentially is thinking about D.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I couldn't get to D. I was just stuck on
ED. F. ED. Ego death.
Ego death. Yes. Nice. ED. Oh my God. Hello. Okay. And I was just starting to think about D recently. And I am sort of starting to feel, because my grandmother, oh my God, you guys, this pod is like crazy. Everyone is going to go freaking crazy. My grandmother, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother on my mom's side as she was dying, as she was passing away. And she would talk to me about the other world.
Oh my God.
Not joking.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
And between that experience and collecting other people's near-death experience, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, I sometimes think about that.
And definitely not black. I truly believe it's not black. But yeah. I do believe, because I have a dreamscape city that I go to, almost every night. And I've been building it out
for
9 years.
Psychotic. That's so lucky.
I know. I'm literally, what does it look like? I'm so lucky in that regard. And
meanwhile, I'm rubbing my pussy on a tile floor and seeing a cock with teeth. My God, take me to your city.
But that, I mean, that's important too. And that could happen in my cityscape. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally.
But I think we go there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't need to go where I was last night. I do not need to go where I was last night. I'm just stretching. That's why my ass is in the air. I'm just stretching it out.
When you talked about being with your grandma and her talking about the other side, that's how sometimes I am when I love to when there's a newborn baby, just born in the hospital still, I love to hold it and be where were you? Where were you just? You know what I mean? Where were you just?
Where
before
were you
this?
Just right now?
Where did you come from? Where were you?
Literally,
what was the moment before?
What was your night before this? You know what I mean? Because
how's your night been so far, girl? Yeah,
because they know they just can't tell us because they don't know about words. It's so annoying.
It's so annoying. So, what do you feel when you hold a baby?
I do feel. I don't know. I feel
bad
warmth.
For it. I'm like, get ready.
No, I feel a lot of warmth. I think there must be some kind of chemical that gets released with me with babies. Cause I do feel giddy.
That's so cute.
And then especially little babies.
So you want to be daddy daddy.
I don't know if I want to be daddy daddy. Cause you have to remember I'm quite selfish and I have quite a lot of things I like to do that don't involve babies, but I do like children and I find them very funny and fun to
talk
to.
I think it's so important to hang out with kids whether or not you have them. I think it's part, we need to have children making us laugh 100%.
Yeah, totally.
Because they are so fucking funny.
So I don't know whether or not I want them. It depends on a million things. It depends on what my life looks like in 10 years. I mean, I think I could see myself doing a full 45-year-old gay dad thing. But I'm not sure.
And Catherine, are you mommy?
I did Frozen 2, the musical.
Ryan.
Right. You did Frozen 2, the
musical. I don't know what I want.
Ryan and Sarah Hall are two professional marathoners who have trained a lot in Kenya. And they adopted a family of four African girls who are all... a lot of times in those kinds of adoption scenarios, people get really separated from their families because, people only want, the youngest ones or, things like that. And so, they adopted for, somewhat, ranging from, very young to, 18. And they're all, and I think that would be cool
so
to, be able to get them, give them a home in a way that's not, oh, you have to leave your family. You know what I mean? That kind
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think that's so, adoption is... Very, very cutie patootie.
Adoption is a cutie patootie.
The kids thing is so intense.
We have time.
I still have no answers.
Yeah.
But I know I want to hang out with kids. I know that. That's
funny
because
I really
I
don't
be around kids.
I don't need to.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I would foster. You don't have maybe to. I'd foster.
Maybe like for a few minutes, like say one funny thing and then I get to go and have actual like fun.
Yeah, I guess like I don't, that's how I, see that's
but
how
you
I,
don't like hold a kid and you go, this is crazy.
I never
like,
ever hold like a kid,
my,
I don't know.
My friend calls them god balls and I think that's so true.
That's so cute.
Catherine, the way you just describe babies, I'm like.
They are little god balls.
How you feel about kids, Catherine, where it's like, okay, say one funny thing and then I've had enough. That's how I feel about like conversations with adults. Like make me off one time and let me head out. Like
put it in the Venn diagram.
So Catherine, you love talking to adults.
Yeah.
It's your passion for fashion.
But isn't it so boring? Yeah,
like I'm just sad because I wish we were all like, if the three of us were in person, it would be absolutely like I would never be able to leave. Like it'd be absolutely electric.
No, me too. It would,
but
we would
I
have to camp
I do
out.
Have to say that I have to leave in a few minutes. So maybe we'll keep, don't want to keep anyone too long.
No, of course. What are you doing next?
Well, I have to go back to where I'm staying because I'm at Lolly's house still. And then tonight, I might just stay in.
Okay, London calling.
I've been really exhausted.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's a good kind where I'm doing something that I like. But wait, you know, Ruby, you're one of our very few repeat guests, so I do want to just briefly ask you if there's an updated addendum, if you will, to who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be?
100%. Okay, so who were you? Okay, this is like, I'm like literally Ruby the Guru tonight, where
I
it's
love
like,
it.
Who was I? I was addicted to, well, this is also what, not to be like totally, I'm going to plug something. I have a show at Joe's Pub on August 19th. About what I'm about to talk about, which is
addicted.
I was addicted to tragedy most of my life.
Oh my god!
And that's what my show's about.
Sounds like a Panic at the Disco album. Sounds like a Panic at the Disco album. Addicted to tragedy.
Addicted to tragedy.
Oh my god, right. But that's what I'm saying is because I'm from LA, I'm goth, so I have to talk about it. Whatever. Okay. So who I was just a girl about town, and in her little mind, I was just thinking about all the ways I could die a penniless prostitute in 1940s Los Angeles. You know,
you're like Black Dahlia vibes.
Yes. Like I was just like, who's going to slice me up? Like, what's my hair going to look like? Okay.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by. That was you.
Yes. It's very that. It's like, when is it going to get lice in my hair? I have to. Yes. Yeah. I was just like obsessed. So addicted to the moments of like, when is it going to get to the point where I'm shaving off my hair and I'm crying?
Yeah.
To the gods.
Yeah. To the gods. Crying to the gods.
And singing to the
gods. Nerve.
So that's who I was. I was absolutely begging, pleading, praying to, you know, get lice and shave my hair. So that's who I was. And who I am, is that the next question?
Yeah. Who are you?
Who am I? So who am I? I'm a person that's about to lie about their age. That's who I am. And I may be turning, this is a whole plot, I may be turning 40 next month, and I want that rumor to spread that I'm 40.
Okay? That'd be incredible. I want that rumor to spread.
Everybody, you know that I am 40 years old.
She's skipping her 30s. She's absolutely going 40.
I'm skipping my 30s entirely.
40 or bust.
And I'm 40 or bust, so when they find out my real age, I seem absolutely young. I seem spring chick. Okay.
Spring-a-ling.
So who am I? I am 40. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who am I?
This is 40.
This is 40. Who am I? This is 40. Break out the fedoras, ladies and gentlemen. This is 40. Okay. So, and then who am I going to be?
Who do you want to be?
Who do I want to be? I honestly, I really want to keep on this, like, my brain doesn't work. I really want to be my brain doesn't work. And I really want to be. I think I want to, like, really be, like, what, like, the showbiz version of the woman from Donnie Darko, which I think I'm well on my way of being.
Absolutely.
100%. But I think that's
90% uploaded.
90%, right?
I love to Google, it's, like, metaphysical things and, like, read them until I get that weird brain feeling where you, like, can't quite understand what they're talking about.
Yes.
I love that feeling.
Where you're just, like, I'm, like, at this point, like...
Yeah, it's like, wait, so time, so I'm outside of, okay, so outside of time, wait, so time is fabric.
I'm like, so like every direction takes us to the future?
Yeah.
Oh, como se, I'll never forget when I was at a show and Sam Taggart goes, como se what?
That's so funny.
That's what I feel when I read that.
I, like, want to ask you guys the same thing, though, but do you guys, I'm like, I really want to know, like, who you want to be. I really want to know who
I
want to
be. I want to be, like, so, like, literally, like, charcuterie board. Just, like, everywhere I go, it's a party and everyone, but I'm generous in that. I'm, like, giving everyone a little bit
of charcuterie. Yeah, I definitely want that, too. I really do want the charcuterie board lifestyle. I definitely
am. Yeah, and so... I really want, like, a country home and an iconic career that sort of defies what we've seen before.
Yes!
That's incredible. Okay. Those things are incredible. Those boobs that
Thanks,
you have.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, all those boobs that you have, honestly.
all these boobs on me. Now, let me ask you guys this.
Each and every one of your boobs.
Aw, thanks, hunty. Slay.
I also, like, who I want to be, I want to, for all those TV executives, I want to be on television again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been on it a lot, to be fair.
I've been on it a lot, and I want to keep being on television.
Same.
Yeah.
Let me ask you all this. Do you feel hot today?
And keep singing, and, you know, keep singing to the gods.
For your nerve. And your supper.
And boots. Singing to and the gods slay, for the your house. Boots. I want to be someone who, like, wakes up and is, like, gets out of bed and makes their bed and, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, like, eats, like, a breakfast and then, like, writes for a bit and goes for a run.
Oh, my God.
Like, sees friends, but not in, like, an annoying way. Like, just a very comfortable way and has, like, a lot of laughs and fun. And then goes to bed and then wakes up and kind of does that again.
I love Sounds that. Great. I also want to be a person that's, like, just having a yogurt.
Yeah.
I would never have a yogurt.
I know. I've never had a yogurt, but I've been like, I need to have a yogurt.
I don't need my future to involve yogurt.
I go through phases with Chobani.
I hate it. It reminds me of dieting. Like, you know, there's certain foods that remind me of dieting, so I can't have them anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, yogurt reminds you of dieting?
Yeah, like having like a high fat yogurt and like nothing else.
Oh, I guess that's right. Maybe it's like cottage cheese culture.
It's cottage cheese culture. Do you feel hot today?
Is that
but I don't care.
Yes,
yeah, I don't, but I don't care.
You don't? Not even with your boobs?
Well, I guess I do. Now that you guys have complimented my big tits.
Those are crazy. Those are insane.
I guess with big tits comes, say it with me, big responsibility, a.k.a. also big body. So I'm just feeling a bit swollen today, and I'm actually exhausted, and I cannot wait to go take a nap.
Yeah, I feel, I do feel hot today for some
reason. I think you should feel hot today. Mm-hmm. You're about to get a new face.
I'm about to get a new face. I finally slept for like 9.5 hours. I know I'm going to sleep a lot again tonight. I'm a little nervous. I'm doing my like set that is like the big set tonight. So, and I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do. And I think I've gotten to a place where I'm like, I just want to do the things that I find the funniest, even if they're really old or even if like whatever, whatever. I just want to do the things that like I have the most fun doing that I get excited during a, you know, when you like those jokes you have that like you get excited when you pull them out during a set, because like, oh, this will get a big laugh no matter what, like everyone will like this. I want to just do those bangers and once I
and not like on, any new news.
Well, I'm not gonna do anything for the first time, but there will be some stuff that's like new-ish or like newer than really old. And once I really settle on exactly what the set will be, then I will feel, I think, even hotter. Because I still have that hanging over my head. But I woke up really early, went to a gravel track, did a little tempo workout with warm down and cool down. It was a 10.5 mile day. And I just feel very like like I'm finally turning a corner and like starting to feel like my old self again as a runner, which is, it's never taken me this long to get back into shape running wise. So I feel, and I kind of was starting to think it would never happen. So I feel powerful.
But never say never. Oh, that's something I also wanted to say on the pod that I realized recently.
Never
say never. Is that like when you like break up with someone or like when something bad happens and you go, something is never going to happen again to me. Whatever just passed is never going to happen again. That's called immaturity.
Yeah. That's it. That's how Webster's dictionary defines immaturity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you guys have crush of the week?
Oh, crush of the week.
Mine is the amazing therapist and twins from London and the amazing river dancers from Dublin.
Yeah.
Did you have River Dancers opening for you?
No, we should have next time.
Yeah. My crush will be the international group of people I played Old Maid with in London.
Oh, yeah.
You played Old Maid in London? Are you serious?
With an international group.
With an international group that included UK, Ireland, and Australia. Are you kidding me?
It is the cutest thing. I'm like going to weep.
That I know, but I was trying to explain to them. Do you guys know, like, in our country, I feel we have, like, Old Maid cards where there's a specific, like, deck of Old Maid cards. Someone's a literal picture of an Old Maid. They just play it with, like, regular cards, but they have their way they make it work.
Yeah, we have the Old Maid cards.
Yeah, they don't have that.
We're going to go ahead and have that.
That technology hasn't reached them yet, so
we
just use regular cards.
That is so
Ruby, do you have a crush of the week?
100%. I have been watching The Aviator every night and falling asleep 10 minutes in. And I have to say, Leo DiCaprio in The Aviator 2004, baby. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of that.
Scope it out.
It's about crazy Howard Hughes. You guys, everybody stop what you're doing right now. Watch The Aviator. It's unbelievable.
It's a movie?
It's a movie. I knew about it when I was a kid because it was famously Gwen Stefani's first cameo role in anything.
Oh, that excites me even now.
Yeah.
I do remember when it came out.
No, I don't even know who directed it. Martin Scorsese.
I don't like the final form of Gwen Stefani, and I never think we could have predicted it. Like, this kind of the voice-centric Blake Shelton person.
Well,
like,
Blake Shelton-centric. Say it six times. Fast.
Yeah, Blake Shelton centric.
Blake Shelton centric. She's so world music.
Yeah, I liked her album that came out in like 2016, like that no one listened to besides me and like my improv teacher Morgan Grace Jarrett. Where it was about like it was like, oh god, I can't remember a single song from it, but I remember.
Sounds good.
It. Yeah.
It's wait. Not the Sweet Escape.
No, it was one after that. It came out in, like, 2016. And the main single from it, was, like, an unedited, just one shot, like, close-up beauty shot of her in, like, a white tank top with a blue bra strap coming out, like, looking into camera, singing it. Oh, it was called I Used to Love You.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to love, yeah, right?
I forget, but I'll listen to it immediately when we log off.
Wait, now, Ruby, we're going to have to later, we're going to have you on again in person in New York. We'll do a follow-up we don't have the tech issues distracting us. But everyone go see Ruby's show August 19th. August 19th at Joe's Pub. If you haven't seen Ruby perform live, you're literally missing out. It is absolutely transcendent. She's true star power oozes from her pores. I cannot wait to see. And thank you so much for joining us. And I have to ask before we go, are you mad at us because of all the tech?
No, I'm absolutely not. You both are angels in my heart and my mind and in spirit, and you can do literally nothing wrong. So there we go.
I'm so sorry for how I am.
We're in international waters at this point, so it's, I really forgive forever.
All right, well, you guys, thank you for listening to our international podcast.
Coming at you live from America, Canada, and England, this has been Catherine, Ruby, and Patrick's podcast called Seek Treatment Episode Number, I don't remember. And if you're listening, just know that love is coming your way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love is coming your way.
Kiss Alinas.
Kiss Alinas. Kiss Alinas. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment.